Thank you for listening to a message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. The following sermon was recorded during our Sunday morning worship service. The notes for this sermon are available on our website at www.manhattanchurch.org/sermonnotes. We hope that this message will be helpful to you and encourage you to explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
This reading is from 1 Corinthians 15:20-26. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a human being. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But in this order, Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
First of all, I want to thank those of you who have opened your lives to us and entrusted to us these beautiful tributes today. We thank God for you and for your life and the lives that you've shown us today. We have all been deeply blessed. Thank you. As I looked over this list, it took a while, but it finally struck me. This is a good... Can you take me out of the monitor again, please? There is no such thing as good death. But this year, there were no children on the screen. The youngest were Mark's and Marlene's parents in their early 70s. The average age of the person we just honored was 87. Thanks be to God. And the call to worship, it even gives you the prediction, if you're lucky, you get 70, maybe 80 years. And so everyone finished well this year. But even for Annie, Catherine's mom, we are friends with Catherine. I've spoken with her several times since her mother's death. I can assure you, even after 100 years, that death came too soon. She still misses her mom, something fierce. I'm sure it's the same for every one of us. Because you know what? It was not supposed to be this way. And that's the word I want us to take home to remember, that this is not right. And we have no business blaming God, because the last enemy is death. And whose enemy is death? God's.
Amen.
Now, we don't have time to do this masterful story that goes through all the ups and downs of the covenants. I didn't think we would. But think about it. Just at the very beginning, there's this beautiful account of a creation that God brings order from chaos. He creates light and life in all its myriad forms. And then what does God say in that verse? Here's your cue. Play the Genesis 1. God saw everything that he had done, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And that was supposed to be the end of the story, essentially, that we lived in this very good. But then the enemies enter the story in Genesis 3. There's the serpent, there's sin, there's us. In the end, we are our own worst enemies. And because of our sin, God has to allow the consequence of our sin. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you will return. So the enemy, death, enters into the story because we have chosen to leave God's way and embrace our own at the tempting of the enemy. He's just called the snake in the story, but later writers of the scriptures identify the snake as Satan. So we've got this swirl of enemies, Satan and sin and death, and we're taking the sides, we're choosing sides throughout our lives, aren't we? Choosing sin, choosing God. We don't have time to look at the beautiful, powerful, staggeringly powerful passage in Deuteronomy 10 where Moses lays out the covenant and he says, choose life or death, God's way or your own. It's your choice. And that choice is laid before us. And God knew from the beginning what we'd choose. Knowing something is not the same thing as making it happen. Get that? All right, Matthew 10 says he knows when two sparrows drop. Doesn't say he makes them drop. Right? So if we're thinking about the big picture, God knows what we're going to choose, and we choose death, and it has to come as a consequence. But God is ready. He's ready for that choice and sets his plan in motion that will send his Son to absorb our sin, to take it upon himself and do away with it, to wipe it away. Read Hebrews 9 and 10. Once for all, sin is gone. And he's the first fruits. He's the first to resurrect. You know that phrase about harvest, the first fruits? It's from the sacrificial system. When the harvest began, you took the first part of what you were harvesting and you gave it to God because you knew you didn't have any of it without him. So the first goes to God. And then the great harvest came. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. He's the first one to be resurrected and go to God. And the rest of us are going to be that great harvest. I have a sense, though, thinking about enemies, the serpent as the enemy, I think he didn't realize what he was doing. I can see Satan snickering, kind of like the bully that got somebody else in trouble in school. And that's exactly what he wanted. I wanted them to get in trouble with God, and now they're going to die. I've done it. I've done exactly what I wanted. Just like he walked away from the cross, snickering, I've killed the Messiah. I've done exactly what I wanted. But he didn't know what God's plan was. And somehow God's plan is to use death. Even though I don't believe he causes it, he uses everything. Like Romans 8, uses everything for good. He uses death. I need to stop. Death is a mercy sometimes. When we see our loved ones suffering, it is a mercy. Death is a mercy because it ends the lives of the evil ones. Who is not alive any longer that took millions away? Genghis Khan, Pol Pot, Adolf Hitler. They're gone. As horrific as they were limited, they were mortal, and they were stopped. God causes rain to fall on the good and the bad. But also with death, God uses it as some, and I apologize for the crassness of this illustration, but he uses it like the Woody Allen movie Sleeper. You know, this image of being put in cryogenic freeze where you're sick and you're frozen until a cure can be found and then you're thawed out and then cured. Death serves that function for us where we're preserved and Jesus comes as the cure and God will resurrect us all in the end, where there will be no death, no hurt, no crying, no sorrow. God turns the tables on Satan every time. He thinks he's done well in causing our death. He thinks he's done well in causing the cross. But in fact, God turns both of them on him and reclaims us all. Thanks be to God that the last enemy is death and the war is won. And one of these days, he's going to come back and we'll see them all again. And in the meantime, as Emily just sang and we just sang, may we live faithful lives so that when our children and grandchildren are lighting candles for us, their tributes reflect God's flowing through us into their lives and passing his light on to them. The final scripture I would read to you is in 1 Corinthians 15 that says, and I'm sorry, Robert, it's not in your litany up there, and you know the text, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Father, we thank you again for these lives, for our lives, for the chance to live, for all that is very good around us. Help us to live as your sons and daughters and pass your light on to those who come after us, all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. We are located at 48 East 80th Street in New York City. Adults and children's Bible classes are held every Sunday beginning at 9:30 a.m., followed by worship services at 11 a.m. To hear previous podcasts, visit our website at www.manhattanchurch.org.